Hey everyone, I can't believe next week is March 1st. One of the things I wanted to talk about is Wendy Williams versus Mariah Carey, their success as women. So as you know, as we continue our journeys as women, you know how women are. A lot of us exhibit a lot of strength. We're mothers, we have careers, or if we're stay-at-home moms, you have to be a strong woman to take care of your child and grow, raise your child to a productive member of society. We also take care of our families. We're more caring, empathetic, sympathetic, etc. Now, one of the things I wanted to talk about was success. What is your success trajectory? I feel like a lot of times as I worked, not even only in my career, like my little part-time jobs and things like that, I never had really a good experience with women all the time. I always felt it was always competition and only the older woman took me under their wing. And when I say older, like if I was in my 20s, the person was like 40s or 50s. And now that I'm like in the cusp of like mid-level, nobody's taking me under their wings anymore unless they're at the end of their career and about to retire. So one of the things I want to talk about, I saw the Wendy Williams movie and I thought it was great. This was like her first production that I liked. I didn't like the Aaliyah movie. But this one, of course, a biopic, it goes really quickly about her life. I like the way how she met her husband, he was her protector, and how it depicted her surgeries, her life, her kid, her miscarriages, and things like that. Then they had the follow-up show, right? That kind of talked about, well, it did talk about her one-on-one, just she did that ugly cry about her marriage is over. When I say ugly cry, it's just because, not making fun of her, but it's that pain. Wherever you in that belly, just pulling it out of that pain of that person betrayed you or did something to you, even though you know they're capable of doing something bad, they did it, right? So that's so hard to deal with, so hard to bear. But one of the things she said, you know, without Kevin, I would have been Wendy Williams regardless because I have the talent. So I would say, no, she wouldn't have been. Why do I say that? So radio is a cutthroat game. Any industry is a cutthroat game. I'll be clear on that one. It's about knowing your stuff a lot of times, like doctors have to know their stuff, executing, meeting the right people, networking, pushing yourself, and marketing yourself, right? So she said, I would have been Wendy Williams without him. I don't think so. I think she would have been dead. I think she wouldn't have made it without him because he was her aggressor protector. So she said that he was from Brownsville, Brooklyn. He was younger, but he was so street smart just because being in Brownsville and he was like a hustler. She didn't say whether he sold drugs or not, but I know what street life is. It could go either way. And it talked about when Total came up to the studio and wanted to fight her. He was a protector. Miss Jones said that he put a hit on her to kill her, which I thought was crazy. I didn't hear that one when I was growing up, but I've always heard about the Angie Martinez fight. She didn't put that in the movie, though, when Angie Martinez was mad that she was dating Q-Tip. Angie Martinez was dating Q-Tip. Remember, Trial Called Quest, and Wendy was like, oh, yeah, they having sex, da-da-da-da. So Angie was livid and fought her in the studio, and that's how she got fired at Hot 97. That's how I remember it. In junior high school, at least. So I felt like if her husband wasn't her protector, doing her business deals, even though he was rude and aggressive and not professional, leaving people on hold because he forgot about them, I don't think she would have been where she was without him. So where am I getting at? I feel like you won't get where you're at without a tribe, without support. And a lot of times I felt stuck a lot in my career because I felt like I didn't have the right support. I asked too many people for opinions and it gave me the wrong directions. And when I was in the wrong direction, I had to sit in my mess for like a year or two or maybe even three while everybody went along in their merry lives and said, ha, 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 good for you. And I did have people say, ha, 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 good for you, males included. So I feel like one of the things I'm stressing is how do you know if your tribe is for you? So I see a lot of women I went to predominantly junior high school with that's killing it in the black woman business game. So professional, so thought. They put a lot of thought into it. Lovely ladies, what appears on Instagram. They have their families, and I admire that, and it inspires me. And if I get jealous, I always say, no, I need to be inspired because I was like, wow, they have a good community of friendships. So how do you know if you have the good community? You won't always know, but one thing I do, this gentleman told me, like, in my career, he was like, this guy always said, oh, you're not going to get the job. You're not going to get this. You're not going to get that. Always just a negative Nancy. And he says, why don't you lie? Lie and tell him about what you're going to do and see what he says. Because he's like, I think he likes you, so he's trying to get your attention. I don't think he liked me. He was trying to get my attention. But this was a player, this guy that I was talking to. And he was, like, more senior than me. So I was like, maybe that was it. But I don't know. I just feel like a lot of men, now that I'm older, have big egos. So if they see a woman succeeding quickly, faster than them, and they're still hovering at middle management, entry level, or something like that, they're going to hate you. That's how I see it, just coming from Brooklyn, East New York, not far from Brownsville at all, right? So I never tested him, and I regret that, but other people I did test. I said, oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, I'm going to do that. This, are you serious? Are you crazy? And that was my answer there. I've even sought mentorship help, and eventually they got tired of me. So I think a lot of people, I have a quirky personality, right? So a lot of people, it's hard to figure me out. Unless you've spent a lot of time with me, you'll figure me out. But they thought I was the issue eventually. They stopped helping. And I'll tell you, one time I said, hey, can you send a resume over to out for me? And they was like, well, tell me the hiring manager so I can send it. And I thought that was like weird. I'm like, you work in the company. How would I know who the hiring manager is? So I felt like she was doing like wordplay, wordsmithing. So she can help, but not all the way help. So they always say, I look up stories and these articles, like, how do you know somebody's a real friend? So one example was really good. They said, say you have a flat tire on your bike and you need a new bike. Maybe you don't have the money or something like that, something weird. So they said the friend will find a dirty old bike. They say, oh, I got an old bike in the basement. You have to go get it yourself. And there's no tires or nothing. It's just bare bones of a bike. And they will say, I help. I did my part to help. But they really didn't do anything. What did they do? Nothing, right? So I feel like when Wendy says that, she wouldn't have been who she is today if she didn't have somebody in the background advocating for her, doing business deals and things like that. Now, I'm not saying she's incapable. Like, now she's Wendy. She has her car. She has her own marketing team and whatever, whoever she wants to be. But I feel like, unfortunately, she had to get a divorce. Unfortunately, the guy was cheating on her for years. Unfortunately, a baby had to be born for her success to be grown, right? So I noticed that a lot of times when you become successful, your personal life does suffer. And I think a lot of it's due to jealousy. You can't really pay attention to home as much because you're focused on work and new ideas. You're traveling. You're being innovative. And things like that. So I kind of feel like maybe after you have your kids and your kids are 15, 16, maybe 16, maybe that's the best time to start your own business, right? You don't have to pay attention to a lot of the detail of child development, especially if they need it, like learning disability, if they have a learning disability or things like that. That's just my opinion. My opinion may change, of course. But I feel like Kevin was the brawn. Wendy was the brains, but he was the brawn. And I'm sure she had other people around her. She had her mother. She's close to her brother. And she seems to have a little bit of friends. But remember, in the movie, she said she was isolated. She was a chubby kid. She didn't trust anybody. And I kind of like that because you really can't trust anybody. She knew she was talking about a lot of people and all these other things. So she knew that anybody can be vulnerable to her gossipy ways. So she always said, less keep away as friendships because I don't want to do you like that, right? So at least she knew that part. Even when Foxy Brown had a baby, she said, congratulations to Foxy Brown. She had a baby. I know who the father is. But I'm not going to say anything because I have a relationship with Foxy. But I know she wanted to say something. She put Nene Leakes on blast. And then I want to talk about Mariah Carey. Now, again, I love Mariah Carey, and I can't even listen to her music anymore ever since I read her book because it was, like, so painful, heavy, and Tommy Mottola was very controlling. So, yeah, she was talented. You listen to her voice. She's older now, but she's still beautiful. She still can sing, and people make fun of her not being able to sing now, but look how much work she was doing. She literally was like a Whitney Houston. It was the same caliber of a woman just traveling and using their vocals. Men don't really... Unless you're Michael Jackson, I very rarely see a man travel and make money like that. So in her book, she talks about the lawsuits, the issues with her family, meeting Tommy Mottola, just being cherry-picked out of a party. And maybe it was easier back then to be cherry-picked out of a party because nowadays, you know, everybody's getting plastic surgery, their body done. Everybody has access to network. And back then, it was more elusive, right? So she was so controlling. That's what I got from her. He will hire bodyguards to follow her around. But the one thing that kind of saved her success was she had her ear to hip hop. That was her genre. You know, she was still growing up. She was like in her 20s and things like that. She had her ear for Puff. She was close with Puff. And she even said Tommy Mottola didn't like Puff, but she liked Puff. And I just felt like if Tommy Mottola wasn't doing her deals, and I'm not saying that they didn't have money issues, marital issues, etc., I don't think she would have been where she was today because he was a beast. He was very vile, aggressive, and she suffered a lot. And one of the things that it was very hard for her to have the right people around her because everybody wanted her money. She said, you know, even the person that she worked on her demo with, right, wanted the money as soon as she got big, and she signed a contract flippantly, and it was like very vanilla, very basic, but it was held up in court where he got a lot of the proceeds for the money, and I think she came to grips with that and was like, whatever. She said this was the first of many lawsuits that everybody came at her, even her sister came at her like that. But I felt like if Tommy Mottola wasn't in her life, I don't think she would have been as big as she was. So the thing about what I see is the pain that these two women endured, and they even had their words with each other when Mariah Carey's on Wendy Williams' show, and she was like, oh, you got breast implants, Mariah, I know you did, and she was like, F you, Wendy, and blah, blah, blah. But I just feel like, why as women, we do have to suffer for love, suffer for pain, just to make it. You just see it all the time. Like, you see it in the Salt and Pepper movie. Salt's manager was her boyfriend at the time. He was cheating on her, and he was hiding points on what her and Salt and Pepper should have been making from the get-go until Pepper had to speak to a pimp to break down the point system. Don't get the minimum, so you get a minimum salary. And then they renegotiated their contracts and had to stand up against him. And I feel like that's so sad. And I feel like a lot of women may meet their man in college, so they grow together. And you may not know the ins and outs of any relationship, but I just feel like sometimes I feel like that may be the best relationship because you could break down with each other, grow up together, grow apart, go broke together, come back up together because it's just you two and you're building. And I feel like as you get older, when you date and you find that partner, it's so hard because you don't know what they want from you. So when I was like looking to find a partner, male, I'm not gay, but when I was looking to find a partner, I felt like they focused so much on my career goals. And I said, what the hell are they worried about my shit for? I just thought that was weird, only because if somebody lives on their own and can afford transportation, whether it's a car or a train or taxis, obviously they're self-sufficient, so you don't have to carry them. And some men, they will carry a waitress. I've heard men that started making a lot of money, they carried waitresses. They said they don't care. She's a bad chick. So what I took from that was, like, they didn't like me too much if they were so focused on what I had. Or one of my older guy friends said I look so professional or look so conservative that I didn't look like I would wanted to have fun at all. Fine, I really don't care. That saved me a lot of heartache because the way how these men run on these streets, that doesn't even matter. I earned my respect. So I just feel like a lot of times when you are just, like, focusing on your goals, you gotta have a plan. It don't have to be a foolproof plan, and I don't do like a whole plan on what my goals are. I just write two or three things I want to tackle, and I work on them just like that. And other things that I focus on too is, like, is your prayer life intact? Are you learning something? Are you trying to learn something new? Are you going to the gym? Are you trying to update your diet? Are you trying to be the best version of you? So I do use Instagram as motivation when I see women say, okay, I'm cutting this out my diet. Oh, I'm not shopping. I'm budgeting. Shout out to my neighbor and things like that. I feel like that's so motivational. Like, I feel like you got to focus on you, love yourself, and I guess the right people will come. And it's so funny when I talk back to Wendy Williams and stuff, she's definitely a worldly person. And I think her advice is great. People say her advice is not good. I think her advice is spot on. She's been through a lot of bullshit. She's met a lot of bad people. And I never heard advice from her that was bad at all. So I feel like, those same friends that always was negative around me, like a Debbie Downer, that said, you're not going to get this, you're not going to get that, when it was coming to my career goals, it was so funny because they weren't Native American, Native English speakers. And I used to write their websites for them, redo their resumes for them, help them write thank you letters, doing the whole shebang of what I learned as an intern. And everybody forgets how you helped them. So one of the things I always try to remind myself, I'm working on a project now with this guy who's getting on my nerves, whatever. But he is confused, but I said, when I was confused, how do I want people to work with me? I just ignore their confusion and just keep working with them strong, right? Working with them strong, just repeating myself over and over without getting agitated. And if I get agitated, I speak to them another time. So I try to be fair with people. And I was also watching a video today where the guy was like, if you sense anybody doesn't like you, even in England, cut them off because it's going to be bad energy, right? So I felt like Tommy Mottola knew Mariah Carey was beautiful, right? So he's a man with money. So a lot of those beautiful women is not out of his league at all, but they feel insecure. If she liked me, I'm an okay guy with money. She may go to another guy with money that she likes. Wendy Williams. I think Wendy was pretty coming up in the 90s when she had natural hair. Because I was at the liquor store and I was telling my friend, I was like, Wendy was so pretty when she was younger. And he looked at me. I said, no, look at her hair. Look at her little chubby. Some people do need that little bit of weight. I think she looks nice now. Don't get me wrong. I don't think anything is wrong with her. I think she's beautiful. He was like, wow, she was really pretty. So, but I think in Wendy's case, like Kevin had that, again, that urban flair, that street swag that a lot of women will like. Any girl really, really likes the street swag. So Kevin also was on that plateau of like almost having any woman he wanted. Now he has the money. He managed her career. Now he has the money again where he can like flaunt it to take women shopping. He took one of the girls to Evelyn Lozada's shop in Miami when she had Dulce in Miami a few years ago, when she early on in her basketball wives career. So I think also one of the things I take away from both of these women, Wendy versus Mariah, is their career goals. Like Mariah always knew she was going to be a writer. She knew she could sing. And I think it was genetics as well. I believe that because she said her mother can sing really well. And when she was 3 years old, that she actually sang perfect Italian when she mimicked what was on the radio. So she always knew that she was going to make it. But I still don't feel like she would have been Mariah if it wasn't like the machine behind like Tommy Mottola. He was naturally ruthless. And you look at Beyonce, her father was ruthless. He was already a high earning exec that made $300,000 a year before Beyonce was Beyonce. And $300,000 back when Beyonce was a kid is a lot of money. So you can double that and say that was like $600,000 now, right? So he had to be ruthless to move up with corporate ladder so quickly. And the same thing with Tommy Mottola. She, look how many singers now that can sing, but they never made it. Leona Lewis never really made it after Bleeding Love or anything like that. So I do feel like with your circle, you got to have positive people around, pray to bring the right people in your life. So I focused so much time on praying to get people out my life. There was no one left. So you had the right people. So now people that I talk to, I pitch my ideas, older gentlemen that already seen success. They've already been successful. So they don't care what I got going on. And I'm not saying that everybody wants the best for me. And you got to know that too. Sometimes you got to figure things out on your own. One of the things that I'll talk about next is how to figure things out on your own. So a lot of times you want to do what your friends are doing, but you weren't meant to do it. I have friends that are good at creating business ideas and things like that. And sometimes a lot of people may want to mimic their journey, but their journey is their journey. I'll give you an example. When I was confused at a certain time in my career, I would listen to everybody's like advice. What should I do? What should I do? Take all the advice, mishmash it, do what I want to do. But it really wasn't what I wanted to do because a lot of their advice influenced me somewhat. And I didn't act in conviction. So again, what people say, if you don't believe in yourself, have this right message, a straight message to the universe all the time, your thing's not going to work out. And that's what I dealt with. I had to sit in my mess a lot of the times because that's what I dealt with, not believing in myself, not listening to my own advice. So I felt like, again, to go back to these two women, they sat in their mess and they dealt with, they kept persevering. Wendy knew she wanted to be on radio. She even did it in one of those local islands for a year. When they kicked her out of New York, she went to Philly. When she wanted to come back to New York, she networked her way to come back to New York. She knew this was her job, her shock jock profession. And she knew from out of college, like, this is what was meant for her to be. And I think she's good at it. Don't get me wrong. Mariah's good at what she does, too. The other items I wanted to talk about is don't be a fool for anyone. Be a fool if you don't know any better, but don't be a fool consistently for anyone. So this doesn't necessarily have to do with love and relationships, but recently on the news, there was this young gentleman who robbed the Chanel store, right? He took mad bags, him and his partner, had a firearm, and aimed it at the store clerks, and he knew the security guard wasn't going to, doesn't have a weapon, so he wasn't going to do anything. So he said, don't touch me, nobody don't touch me, and they got $186,000 out of the Chanel store. Then he posted on Instagram, I could start a mini boutique. They tracked him down, found him in Fort Lauderdale. He's going to probably face 20 plus years because now it's a federal crime due to the amount of money that is that was stolen, and of course the use of a firearm and threatening to harm others. Now, I'm not saying I didn't do any dumb things in my life, and I thank you so much, thank the Lord, that I did a lot of dumb stuff in my 20s where I took losses, but I wasn't devastated, right? And who's to say, like, in your 40s and your 50s, things will be gravy. You don't know how life goes, and I'm trying to always try to remain humble and put God first as well as my family. So I don't know who his friends are to say, hey, that's okay for you to post that on Instagram. Or say, yeah, post it on Instagram. So I do feel like having the right people around you will up your influence. And I feel like the right people weren't around him. So I'm not saying I have a lot of friends, but the friends that I do have or did have, they were like, oh, don't do this, don't do that. To a certain extent, I listen to them. Like, say, for example, again, I'll just take it career-wise, something simple. I put a line item in a cover letter. They say, oh, take it out. You know, that doesn't sound right. Or something that nobody uses cover letters, FYI, really, anymore, unless you're, like, doing, like, artistic work. So I just wanted to just give a example. And then I've had other people that weren't my friends who gave me bad advice. So I used to go to brunch every Sunday with, and then we wind up created like a mini friendship. I won't say it was a real friendship. We just used to meet up every Sunday at brunch at a spot in Brooklyn. One of the guys took a liking to me. He was attracted to me. And we used to wind up talking about Power when it was on the air. And we used to dissect it. Then we started talking about our personal lives, like what's new. And I give you two items that bad advice that the young lady gave to me. One was, it was this guy I liked. Everything that a girl want on paper. Tall, good-looking, career, etc. Respectful, know how to treat a lady. You go out, he's walking on the outside of the street. He's opening doors. He's paying for everything, right? So, but he didn't like me. And I know I'm probably saying, well, I'm giving you a lot of stories that he didn't like me, but look, I'm teaching you my lessons, so I'm not going to give you all of my sauce. Whatever. So he didn't like me. I said, I'm going to block him. She said, why would you block him? Don't block him. Just try to ignore his calls and leave it alone. But every girl knows that if you, like, I was watching Real Housewives of Atlanta and Portia, the next week's episode is like Portia saying, Drew, you know, me and you are insecure. I could tell, like, Portia's always been a bad chick. Drew, Sidora, always been a bad chick in their real lives. So them being on TV is just the icing of the cake. So their insecurity can't really be messed with. So regular, smuggler girls that were pretty, beautiful. I know I'm beautiful. That grew up in areas where people were, like, rougher. Didn't really like you because they didn't want to see you do well. You have some type of insecurity. So I didn't block him. I didn't choose to consciously move on. So I left it alone, pretty much. And I didn't block him. And we continued, like, a friendship. I knew he enjoyed my company, but outside looking in, or in hindsight, he enjoyed my company as a friend, not in intimate life. And he had a lot going on. Like, he was, like, starting over in his career, really pushing for the top. And me, I didn't see that at the time. I was just like, yo, you got to make time. And plus, he was probably dating other people. The other bad advice, it was this guy I was feeling. I knew he was in a situation because 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, you text somebody, they don't text you back. Yo, you up? You know what you up means. And it don't always have to be sexual, but more than likely, you up. Can you talk? And he was always like, nah, I'm busy. What are you busy at 1 o'clock in the morning? So he obviously lived with somebody, or that person, they were in a serious relationship where they had to be around each other for a long amount of time. Fair enough. She said, oh, it doesn't matter if you sleep with him or not. Just do it because it don't matter. Sex doesn't take away your priority in somebody's life. I think it does, in my opinion. I'm not saying that you have to put a time limit on sex. I do think that you should make sure the person at least likes you. And I'm not talking about good morning, beautiful, good morning, all those stupid good morning texts. I'm definitely not talking about that. I'm talking about the person has a vested interest in you, your day, a good cadence, and you get good energy and good vibes with them. And it takes time with age to make sure that the person really likes you. And it was bad advice to go forward with that guy when I knew he was like a hood booger and just mad reckless and wild. Like, his Facebook posts would be mad reckless and wild. And both of those advice were horrible. Both of them ended up in disaster. And I'm not just blaming her. I'm in control of my free will and my actions. But it just goes to show, she just gave advice willy-nilly. And a lot of times we take advice from strangers who don't know you. Your ins, your outs, your family, your background, and things like that. Or even your old friends that's competing with you. You may make the wrong choice in life. And I beat myself up about those two relationships. Even though deep down I knew it wasn't going to go anywhere, I just beat myself up about it. So I feel like a lot of that time, you got to listen to yourself and know what you want. And not everybody needs to be in your circle. And I kind of see why people say, I have my career friends, I have my round the way friends, I have my family friends and cousins you grew up with and things like that, because it makes life more worthwhile. So I hope that you enjoyed this week's podcast with the comparative analysis with Wendy Williams and Mariah Carey, knowing that you do need people to push you forward, and hopefully you can pray for discernment on if they're the right people, and always listen to yourself. Again, all you have is yourself. When you wake up, go to bed, take breaks, you're in your head, you're by yourself. So take care of you, focus on you, have a great week.